You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to Hen Docs and the Massive Report podcast, brought to you by 180 Property Development for their sponsorship of the Massive Report podcast. 180 Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your house from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. We are at Hen Docs on High Street, and I don't know, I showed up tonight going to the bar and ordering a beer, not knowing that I would be the actual host walking in brand new off the street on the Massive Report. But you know what? Let's just jump in with both feet.
Absolutely on brand.
We'll just fake our way through this, won't we? Now, Mike is also a newbie here. Mike Krosky, welcome.
Thank you very much.
You come from here, and then you went there, right?
Yeah, so born and raised here in Columbus. Got into the crew in 96 in the beginning, right? And
me too.
Then I spent the last 8 years or so out west, living out in Idaho and California and Colorado and Oregon.
It's beautiful. And you were doing some coaching and scouting, right?
Absolutely. So I've done some club coaching, some college club, youth club, and some high school out there, and then did some college scouting as well. I've been doing that for the last 3 years, but missed Columbus a lot and got really excited when I realized that the crew were going to be staying home, and I said, I want to be back in my hometown. So,
well, that brought – had the crew, God forbid, actually moved, you wouldn't have come back.
You know, I'll be honest, I don't know. That was a big driver. I mean, I missed my family and friends a lot being away for 8 years, but a big thing for me really was the crew coming back. In fact, the day I decided I was coming back was the day that it was announced that Jimmy and Dee Haslam had taken over the crew, and I said, I got to get back. I have to be a part of it.
What's that word my mom uses? Serendipity. It was serendipitous.
It absolutely was.
My mom has a lot of corny words she uses. Alex Static, welcome.
Thank you.
You've been here before. I haven't. So can you tell me what the hell's going on?
Not really. Oh, no, we just kind of wing it. It'll be fine.
All right. So
we saved the crew. It's all good.
What was the lowest point for you during this whole saga with the team perhaps moving? What was the point of the biggest despair for you?
It was that first day, really. And then after that, it just kept getting better and better. I mean, I just had a feeling. You saw the reaction.
Uh-huh.
And this is a special city. You just
sure
had a
is.
Feeling like something's going to happen here. And then you just saw a little bit of evidence here, a little bit more. And then you'd start to hear things. And, okay, maybe something's happening. And, okay, something's trying to happen. And then, hey, something's really happening. It's already happened. And then we saved the crew. So it was great.
I'll tell you what. I think my lowest point was the Atlanta playoff game, which was the best 0-0 game I've ever seen in my life. And I'm watching it with my youngest daughter, Izzy, and she's grown up playing. I was her coach at one point. She overcame that and became a really good player. But we've grown up watching this team, or I've watched her grow up watching the team, and I remember loving that particular match so much and the outcome. And I remember being very angry when it was over because I didn't want this feeling to go away. It was such an important part of our family life. And I think that was the lowest point for me. And along the way, early last season especially, I don't know if you guys felt this, but you would go to a game and you were having such a great time. And then you would think about what was the backstory, what was going on in the background. And sometimes you just get really mad out of nowhere. I don't know if anybody else felt that, but...
So I didn't get to go to any of the games last year in Columbus, but I had tons of discussions and arguments with people. And, you know, having moved around a lot, I've met people in the soccer world all over the place. And some people, you know, especially out west, they have no connection to Columbus. They don't understand what the crew means, right? They're like, well, hey, you know, if the business metrics aren't matching up, yeah, maybe they should leave. It's like, no, one, you don't understand, right? Like, and I remember getting just livid with people that didn't understand the full story of what was going on, how the team was being kind of sabotaged and stolen, right? And so, you're talking about lowest point. That was the lowest point for me, actually having arguments with friends of mine out west that don't understand what it is. And I said, you know, the crew were such an instrumental part of my life that my whole life now is soccer.
Yeah.
All my friends are through soccer. My best friends from growing up, the friends I've made from moving all over the country the last 8 years, are through soccer.
Yeah.
And it's all because of the crew. It's all rooted in that. And to think that was going to be yanked from us, you know, that was certainly the lowest point. But, hey, we're on to bigger and better
things.
Here
we are. Let's not talk about low points anymore. Bart, you got to be pretty pretty fired up for.
I mean, it actually is corny and maybe cliche is it now to say it's like. It kind of felt like this was going to happen, like this was always 2019 was a foregone conclusion that we were going to save this team after, you know, after the reaction. And then just really being validated every step of the way by everything that was going on down in Austin. Just that incredible dumpster fire, like every single step, just Sideshow Bob stepping on the rake, slapping yeah. themselves in the yeah. face. And that was, you know, the schadenfreude, at least. Maybe that was catharsis, but it was definitely real. And then, you know, to see just the exact polar opposite in Dee Haslam and Pete Edwards coming in and the way that this front office has just been killing it mm-hmm. ever since. And really prior to that, and when you think of everything that all the staff and the front, you know, the front office people, the line staff, or if you will, not the decision makers who, thankfully, most of the primary ones followed Anthony Precourt and company down to Austin. Good luck with that. But the real, you know, the glue for the organization that's gone through everything last year, to have them and, like, kind of be able to unleash them to just do their jobs and you know, be productive and not be trying to sabotage this thing, which is what they were doing, it's exciting.
I had season tickets for Austin City Council meetings there for a while. That's where it got weird. It's like, what am I doing here?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a vote, but I don't know. I found myself staring at my computer trying to figure out what was going on. But I'll tell you what's going on is we're playing on Saturday, and if we could forget about all that off-field stuff, we have a new manager. We have a new coach, Caleb Porter. If I meet Caleb Porter, I hope to soon, I want to ask him if during the MLS Cup, if he realized how far out of bounds the ball was on the one goal. That's what I want to ask him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because I was right there doing that.
That date is just blocked out in my memory. There's nothing that happened.
Hey, you know what they say? It's the first thing you learn in soccer, play till the whistle.
Absolutely.
And they didn't.
And I turned to my neighbors. I was in Noradek, and I didn't know the people around me. I just sort of, like, the wind took me there or something. It's like, oh, I'm in Noradek. Like, I was always told as a player, you play until the whistle. How can you? Yeah. Well, let's forget about that. But Caleb Porter, as a new coach, brings in a new system. What are we seeing so far that's different? I'm not saying better or worse. I'm just, because it's early, but tactically, how are we different? And we have just a few games of evidence, and they're preseason games, but what can we read into that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is with Caleb, he's not trying to reinvent the wheel. I mean, he knows he has a good kind of foundation laid from Berhalter, and he's said that. He's spoken that a zillion times, right, which is great. But I think the one thing you're really seeing is there seems to be a cohesion, but it's kind of been taken to another level, right? I think we're seeing Pedro Santos play at a level that we haven't seen yet. I think we're definitely going to see the best out of Will Trapp as things move forward. And I think, you know, when it comes to guys like Iwain and, you know, here's the biggest thing. I'm really curious to see from a center back standpoint who's going to join, you know, Jonathan Mensah at that role. Right now it looks like Saro is going to be the guy. But, you know, my concern with him is he can be a little iffy in building out of the back, right? I don't know that he builds out of the back very well. He kind of just his passing can be very soft, and it can be intercepted, right? And so my biggest thing is if that is the center back duo that we're going to see, right? When we play a team like Red Bulls this week who have a high line, they press high, is that going to be a detriment? Is that going to be a hindrance to us? So I'm really curious to see how we handle that going forward this Saturday.
The thing that stuck out to me the most, and I saw Caleb Porter when he spoke to fans at the Noradek Supporter Summit, I think that's what it's called. The phrase that stuck out was ruthless acceleration. And just as a fan, it's just, oh, I love that. That sort of even, you know, getting away from – you saw Greg Berhalter, and it was so fun to just watch a systematic but just offensive team and looking for possession. And that, you know, Caleb Porter's like, yes, I want to play a possession game, but also I want to turn it up to 11. And it's exciting to see he, you know, wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's got he's got the Ohio ties, but I'm also most impressed, at least so far, to see him getting some production out of the wing position, because I think that was probably the biggest shortcoming for this Crew team under Greg Berhalter, certainly last year, where I think you got maybe four, you definitely got more goals from center backs than you got wingers. Are probably more like from fullbacks than you had from wingers. Sure. And so if he can get, Pedro Santos, who scored that goal in the game against FC Cincy, to produce somewhere where, we need and he should be producing as a guy who's, technically a DP but has an international spot and gets paid a lot. And then also, looking at the new additions that they added there, Justin Miram, can he replicate? I think that's really where Caleb Porter's going to earn his money and be able to really differentiate himself and kind of, build his own identity for this team with this personnel.
Well, I think when it comes to the wings in particular, we have Rubinho, who's kind of the mystery man, right? We've only seen him play a little bit here and there in the preseason, right? But I think the biggest thing, Caleb Porter, you talked about the ruthlessness, and he talks about possession with a purpose, right? But I think his biggest thing is he gets players to want to run through a wall for him. That's the biggest thing. Berhalter, and I love him. I think he's great. I loved him being announced as a U.S. coach. He's a little more quiet, a little
cerebral.
More. Yeah, cerebral is a great word for it. But Caleb Porter, I've been following his career since he was in Portland, and I want to get up and run through a wall right now, just think about him as the coach, and his players are that way, because that's how it was at Akron. That's how it was with the Portland Timbers, and we're already seeing it in the preseason with this Columbus Crew team.
And to have that identity from the coach and followed to the captain, like on down, that's sort of, everybody's on board with that one, and that's exciting.
You mentioned the captain, and I think his role maybe will change more than anyone else's, and it's early on, but he was given so much responsibility under Berhalter's system to cover for those outside defenders constantly pushing forward, which I found a really entertaining brand of soccer to watch. But I look forward, and he scored that goal last year. And I remember yelling out. Yeah. I was above the stage, and I remember yelling out to Will, not that he could hear me, shoot the ball, Will. Because my girls are in love with Will Trapp, and they always want to see him score goals. Ironically, they were not there that night. but I would always, whenever he would touch the ball in a fairly dangerous place, my thing was always, I would shout, shoot the ball, Will, shoot the ball. And he'd let that thing rip.
Beautiful.
And that's what I want to see from him this year. As a fan, is just to see him get bigger looks at the goal. So I don't know how you guys think he's going to change, how his role is going to change. You guys have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that when you look at the whole team and you look at the way that Trapp was playing in preseason, he is playing essentially the same role he was playing last year. I think one thing that was interesting is in the post game after the Cincinnati game, Pedro Santos said that last year he would not have tried to make the shot that he took to get the third goal, I think.
Yeah.
And he said, the coach is saying, hey, just take the shot. I wonder if we're going to see a similar attitude with Will Trapp. I wonder if he's going to feel like he has more freedom to kind of take those long shots if he's got the space and he thinks, hey, nobody's open for a pass, might as well let it rip. I think he's a really talented player. I hope he has the opportunity to do that. I do think he's going to kind of be an anchor in the same way that he was in Berhalter's system. One thing that I noticed, and again, this is just preseason, so it's always hard to judge, but one thing I noticed in the FC Cincinnati game was you saw Gaston Sarro pushing all the way up, sometimes to the 18-yard box of the opponent, as like a 1980s-style libero defender, just like just bursting forward in Trapp, dropping back almost as a center back to cover. I thought that was really, really interesting. So that might be a change. He might play even deeper than we saw. I think, and somebody might have to correct me on this, I wasn't checking the heat maps or anything, it seemed like Higuain was a little bit deeper as well in that game, and he would kind of receive the ball really deep, play a pass, move forward, get the ball back, and then distribute again. And I thought that was a little bit of a change, where he played a little bit more as a traditional 10 before. So I think in general what we're going to see from Trapp and from the other players is more of just, tweaks here and there rather than kind of reinventing the wheel. I think the foundation from Berhalter is so good and so respected by Porter that he's not going to change anything right away unless he feels like something needs to be changed partway through the season. So
it'll
be interesting to see how things develop as time goes on.
Well, you know, the thing with Higuain, it was interesting because he was all over the field. And I haven't looked at the heat map either, but I would be curious to do that because it's got to be sideline to sideline, box to box. Which for, you know, a guy kind of getting towards the end of his career, you have to wonder, is he going to be playing 70, 75 minutes and coming out, right? Because he can't do that all season. You just simply can't. So does Porter want him doing that, or as the season goes on, does he reel him in a little bit?
All right. For the uninitiated, heat map, what is that? What are we looking for?
So the heat map, essentially, if you just take a blimp view of the field, and essentially what it does is it shows you by color where a certain player has played most throughout the field, where they're running, where they're moving from. So generally, heat map, obviously the field's green. The heat map, the darker of like a red it is, the more that player has spent time in the 90-minute game in that area of the field. So, you know, somebody like Higuain, generally you want to keep him in the center of the field, right? Maybe not completely box to box, sideline to sideline, right? But, you know, somebody like Trapp, you're going to see him kind of a box to box and even deeper, mm-hmm. right, at times. So, you know, the heat map really just kind of shows where a player's been.
So when Henri played for Red Bulls, his heat map was this little blob in the middle of the field.
Well,
is that where that was?
Absolutely. Now, if he was ticked off because he wasn't getting the ball, he was dropping. He was dropping to pick up the ball at the midfield line and moving forward with it. So,
I think, though, you know, the point about Higuain, too, I think you can't have him play that much because you also – you have to look at this season to an extent, or at least there needs to be some degree of succession planning for Frederico Higuain, imagining as hard as it is to think of what, you know, the crew looks like without him in the future. And does that, you know, is Guji, Eduardo Sosa, a replacement? If not, at that 10 position, I think you've got to, you know, sink some money into that to have somebody who's, you know, that's a spot that you spend a DP slot on. You've got a DP in there right now. And so you need to find out if Eduardo Sosa is really that, you know, the heir apparent, or if he's a good player but not a starting / DP caliber potential MLS or in the 10 position. And if he's not, then you've got to find out, you know, start scouting for replacements. And you know, maybe Caleb Porter's thinking about some of that stuff already. I know he hasn't probably been able to do as much scouting as you'd like to just with the offseason and the transfer ownership. I know Pat Onstead, there's continuity there, but, you know, not much elsewhere. So I think it's not necessarily a bad thing if you're not getting 60 or not getting 90 minutes out of Frederico Higuain, especially, sure. too, if you want this team to make a bit of a run in the postseason.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, I think Caleb Porter's even said there's not a like-to-like sub for him, which goes without saying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. All right. So that's where I wonder, does he go from a 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3 to a 4-4-2, perhaps, because he doesn't have that guy who can just make everything happen. So do you bring in like a J.J. Williams or a Patrick Mullins to go up top with Zardes? And then you just have Archer and Trapp and the two center mid spots. So it's going to be really interesting to see, and I'm curious to see what Porter does over the season. And it'll change, you know, from month to month probably.
Well, that's one of the great riddles of any sport, any professional sport, is when a great player starts to lose a step, it's not usually something terribly obvious. But in baseball with a pitcher, it's like, well, he threw 95. Now his fastball is 93.5. And those are the kinds of incremental things that people look for. But I think in this game, it's a little harder. You have to kind of take the bird's eye view of a player and take it over the arc of an entire season almost, where, oh, yeah, something's missing. And I don't really see that with him. I'm not saying that, but I get what you're saying, though. It's like, what, he's 33, 34 years old, which
34,
is
a young
man for most disciplines, but for professional soccer,
right,
with a guy with a lot of mileage on him,
right.
Yeah. I mean, and he's a hard guy to replace. Mm-hmm. Any club has a hard time replacing that guy, the quarterback, if you will.
Sure.
Guys, if somebody leaps to mind, give me somebody maybe off the bench late in a game, especially early in the season when he's trying to find out what he has. Give me a player that that fans should be looking for off the bench that they don't know, and what he might bring to the table, if you can think of any?
I think it's Robinho. I think Robinho's the guy. We have not seen a whole lot of him so far, but he, for me, is the player to watch this offseason. I think he brings a different look than what we've seen from wingers in the last few seasons at the kind of level of quality that we have been expecting from a starting player in Major League Soccer for the last 5 or 6 years. He has a lot of pace. He has good footwork. He can play a great ball into the box, as we've seen in preseason. And he's just somebody that I think teams are going to have a hard time getting a handle on, especially if he's coming off the bench. I think the way that Pedro Santos has struggled in the past has been, especially against teams where they play kind of a high line, you try to clip the ball over the top. Santos does not have the pace to beat your average MLS wing back in a sprint. He just can't do it. We lose possession. They kick it back to their goalkeeper, and then they shuffle it out again. I think Robinho can do that, especially against tired legs. I think he's going to be almost a super sub. I think we're going to see him most games off the bench, 80th minute, 70th minute, just to give a little bit of extra pace against some tired defenders, try to break a deadlock. You know, if it's 1-1, throw him on there. He can create something. I don't know how many goals he's going to score, but I think the chance creation that we're going to get out of him is going to be really, really great.
And I think along that same vein, Eddie Opoku, who, you know, fans probably saw a little bit last year, and if you're, you know, extremely online, you're familiar with him for Crew fans, but he brings that element, you know, that we really didn't have at the wing, which is just absolute speed and skill. And you saw in the glimpses last year, I mean, not just the speed and some of the technical abilities, the techers, but also just effort, the work ethic, you know, fighting through and winning some of the battles that he won, and then just it's infectious, just the happiness that he brings to with him. You know, when he's on the field, watching him, you just can't help but smile. And I think Eddie Opoku's a guy, you know, he could see some time as a, you know, second striker in that 4-4-2, as you mentioned, or available on the wing, but a nice... Now with Robinho, doesn't have to just be that change of pace one, but, you know, pre-Robinho, and still one of the few guys that's really that, you know, complete speedster, that is a very different look that fans get, or that other teams would see compared to other wingers that the Crew have out there.
Absolutely. I think a different look that you could see this year compared to maybe in the last couple of years would be J.J. Williams. I mean, he has looked pretty good in the time that we have seen him in the preseason. Caleb Porter speaking very well of him. And he brings something that nobody else on the team has, and that's some size. I mean, he's 6'4". He's, you know, got a wide body. He scored a decent amount of goals in college. And, you know, for a league that doesn't put a lot of emphasis on the draft anymore, and even a team as a whole that hasn't put a lot of emphasis, they were pretty adamant about getting him, being happy to acquire him. So, you know, bringing that kind of size, he can hold the ball up and, you know, let guys that maybe have a little more pace and speed, you know, go around and make those runs towards goal, and he can leave it off for him, or he can use his head to get get a goal in the air. So, you know, I think those three guys right there could all make a big difference as the season moves on.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing him play, and I think you bring up an interesting point. We got to go to a break here in a moment, but yeah, the emphasis on the draft would be a perfect opportunity for a club like Columbus Crew to find value where other teams aren't looking for it. And he would be a perfect example, because we're not going to get those big designated players. And I found over the history of the league, a lot of those guys are beyond their prime and not worth the money and not worth the time. And I always felt like we've done a really good job of finding those diamonds in the rough. And I would like the new regime to continue to do that. And so I'm really pulling for him to make an impact this year. And I don't think he has to make a huge impact in terms of minutes, at least not initially. But, you know, you talk about a guy that big, that's an advantage.
So, I mean, here's the thing that you mentioned. I use this term all the time when coaching. It's impact. Everybody thinks impact means scoring the goal. That's not necessarily what that means, and especially in a forward role like that. If you're going to hold up the ball, you're making an impact by drawing defenders to you, letting other players get open and dishing the ball off, right? Or just being a body that defenders know we have to mark. We have to body up so that in turn frees somebody else up. That's how you make an impact. It's not just goals.
All right, well,
also can finish well with both feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've made an impact here so far. We do have to go to a break, don't we? Yeah. We got New York Red Bulls. Hopefully, any and all the guys that are suiting up on Saturday will be good cold weather players. It'll be a little nippy out there. Yeah. So, you know, bring a coat. Don't be shorts guy in the winter. We see those guys everywhere. Don't be shorts guy.
Yeah.
Wear pants. Wear a coat. Don't be an idiot. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you at Moffrey Stadium this coming Saturday for the opener that we thought would, well, okay. Varying degrees. We went through the stages of grief.
Absolutely.
And we're out the other side, yep. And everything has turned out beautifully. The crew are saved, and we have our opener this coming Saturday. We're back with more on the Massive Report after this. Welcome back to the Massive Report, brought to you by 180 Property Development. You check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. Okay, we are getting all technical, but there is a lot of off-the-field organization that goes into any match. Andy Hubbard is here. And, Andy, you are an expert on the area that I'm not allowed to go to. But pretty soon that's going to change because my youngest is now a senior in high school. My wife forbade us from sitting in the Nordic all these years because the language, in her opinion, was a little salty. So I always have sort of a vague idea of what's going on in there. I have the overall arching sense of the fun that goes on in there. But what goes into any match day and leading up to it and tailgating and so forth, there's a lot of organization that goes in there. And I'm glad you're here because it's a new season. It's a new era, new ownership. You guys have a lot going on, right?
We do, yeah. And, you know, as far as language for your wife, we're a very welcoming bunch. And a lot of kids actually, or a lot of families actually bring their kids to the corner.
You mean I've been missing out all these years?
You have.
Because she's been too uptight.
And you should tell her
all right, I will.
That this year is the year to maybe venture over for a game or two.
Kruby, yo.
Yeah, Kruby, we've got the Hive. It's about 8. You know, 5 and 6 year olds or actually like, I guess they're 7 or 8 year olds.
Yeah.
But
were they
we've
the
got
ones
kids
throwing the bottles on the field a few years ago? Or is that
they actually showed up after that. So
oh,
we
okay.
can't blame
all
that
right.
on them.
All right.
But yeah, we've got a couple families who, will actually say to their kids, the language is acceptable here, but if I hear it outside of the stadium, you're in for a world of hurt.
That's good pairing right there. All right, so we've got the opener on Saturday. It's so exciting. What can we expect from you guys pregame, during game, after game?
We've got a lot going on, actually. So we always do huge Christmas Eve parties. We, you know, Christmas is the home opener. We've got our Nordic membership passouts at 4th Street. So you can come out there. We normally have like the front office.
What's in the membership?
Oh, yeah. With the membership, it's $25. You'll get the Nordic scarf that we did this year. You'll get a bottle opener. That's
important.
It is. You know, we've got a cinch bag, all with the new Nordic logo. And then a beer cooler that, or a pop cooler, can hold up to 12 cans.
Juice boxes.
Yeah, Capri-Sun. It actually could hold a lot more family-friendly drinks.
Right. Yeah, there we go.
And those are $25. You can go to nordec.com.
Nice.
And we do, you know, membership pickups every game day.
Oh,
there's
well,
a good
I'm looking
little
at the package there.
Yeah,
that's very attractive. I love the logo. Who did the logo? That's nice. The N and everything?
You know, we've got a bunch of talented guys within our design team, so I can't really
just
you know name
it's
one.
You.
I actually am just loud. I don't have anything to do with the design. I don't have anything to do. They just say, hey, show up and just be loud and get everybody excited. So that's really my own thing.
Andy, the thing that I always wonder about is how you guys stay organized to know what song to sing at what particular time. How does that work?
Well,
for a person not allowed to sit in Northern.
For a long time, you know, you could hear throughout the corner 3 or 4 different chants going on, and the drums just deciding whichever one's loudest, we're going to go with that.
Okay. It's democracy.
And that's kind of.
Yeah.
And then probably 2013, 2014, my buddy John Lavelle and myself kind of decided we need to bring back a couple people who are going to be, you know, somewhat figureheads
somebody
in the corner
to be in charge.
To get one, you know, unified voice in the corner for the team. And hopefully around, you know, our end goal is to get it around the stadium. And we're working with the front office this year actually for that. And I can get into that a little bit more. But we just went, you know, in the section just back to back on top of the stands. And we were higher up than anyone else, so the drums could see us, so we could get everybody on beat. That kind of morphed with the help of Tony Galifo to working with the front office, actually, to get capo stands. We've got Fireball Press, who was able to print us a couple chant cards.
Yeah.
They're waterproof and everything like that. So we'll decide, you know, we have one capo who is going to lead everything. The other one's there to, you know, kind of help out. And we always rotate. We've got about four or five people in rotation.
Now, banners are an important part of the experience in the stadium as well. And I've seen on Twitter that people have been working on those. Do you have an artistic bent? Are you, like, out there with a paintbrush?
I can paint within the lines. when it comes to the design, I, again, leave it up to the actual artists.
Well, I can't wait to see what they've come up with.
We're working with the front office. We did blow up Twitter and social media, you know, get all these banners. We want to, you know, just plaster the stadium. What we didn't take into account was not everywhere is designed like the corner. So hanging rail banners are actually going to prevent the first row or two of people from not actually viewing the game.
Oh, well, might be a problem.
Our first goal is fan experience.
Right.
So we're putting that on the back burner. It hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
But we're exploring how we can actually get fan-made art throughout the entire section and not just the corner.
So if you're an engineer, basically, we're the call out to engineers to figure out this engineering problem, basically.
I mean, yeah, I'm up for anyone. We're working close with a couple of people in the front office, and we've been out there a couple of times just looking at how we can place them. I think by the first couple games, we'll actually get something going.
Right on. Well, I look forward to the first game. There will be shorts guy out there, I'm sure. Shorts guy or
and
two.
No shirt guy.
And
there's
no, shirt,
no
guy.
Shirt guy.
Well, yeah, you know, three. If we go up three goals, that's the key for no shirts.
Okay.
So that's the rule in the corner.
So Andy, I know, you know, the chance. It's one of the big things, and the capo was a big change to get everybody, you know, around and kind of unified. But you guys are doing something a little bit different this year, or maybe introducing some new chants this year, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we all heard the lovely CRE chants last year. We're trying to get away from that. You know, we've got great new ownership. They're willing to work with us as much as we're willing to work with them. And we couldn't be happier about it. So we're trying to get away from that chant or even mentioning that person.
Thank God.
Does he need to exist anymore? Really?
So my good friend Joey DiNapoli, a few years back started this great group called the Project Jukebox, where fans could submit songs with video and audio of a song and say, hey, I've, you know, changed these lyrics to be crew related. Can somebody start it in the corner? Well, that got re-kicked. You know, we rebooted that this year. And we're kind of going through the backlog of what we have right now. So fan submissions aren't a thing yet. We're going to try four or five on the home opener. At the Mega Tailgate, we're actually going to get Project Jukebox and the drums together. So if you want to practice some of these songs, even brush up on some old ones, 3 p.m. at the Mega Tailgate is when we're going to start.
Yeah, where is the Mega Tailgate?
So with the Mega Tailgate, you know where the quarter horse, where they have all the the trailers and everything like that? It's right before that.
Okay.
So it's in just the corner of a lot. You're going to see all these tents, a lot of flags waving, maybe some smoke. We don't know. But that's
where there's smoke, there's fire.
No, flameless smoke grenades.
Okay.
But that's where everybody, you know, in the supporters groups, or even if you're not in the supporters group, come hang out, see what we're about. You know, we're a real welcoming bunch. We call them, there's a supporters group of older gentlemen that we call the old farts. Well, they so rightly call themselves that. And every Christmas they do a chili cook-off.
Oh.
So it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have a bunch of side dishes, but there's going to be four or five different types of chili. Come out, fill your belly before the game, get warm, and have a couple beers and see what we're all about.
I was going to ask if I needed to bring a covered dish, but apparently not. So that's good.
Hey,
just show up.
More food, the better. We've got hundreds of people to feed out there. Okay. So if you want to bring a side or a dessert, we aren't going to turn it away.
All right. I'll come up with something. That chili cook-off, though, that sounds great. Well, it's got to be just so freeing to be able to organize all this stuff and to forget about what went on. It's got to be exciting.
It's exciting, to say the least, but it's also been kind of chaotic.
Yeah.
You know, I feel for the front office more than I feel for us, because we're just getting, you know, a couple thousand people together. But yeah, it's amazing that we have a season. It's amazing to, you know, work with the front office and get that rapport back that we had with previous ownerships. And, you know, they're doing a lot in regards to revamping the stadium right now.
You were talking about some improvements. Can you speak to you saw new bathrooms?
So there were a lot of tweets and pictures last year of broken stalls and a lot of stuff. Those have all been replaced.
Nice.
All the lights work.
Oh,
so,
what a novel idea!
We changed the light bulbs.
So it's really nice to see, you know, working lights at the stadium all around. They're still doing a lot of work to get it ready for Saturday. The upper 90 looks great. No more rotting ceiling tiles. You don't have to worry about that if you're going to go get a drink up there.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they also put in the soccer field again, right? With like the two goals.
We do have the kids' fields are coming back.
That's good. That's great for kids.
So that's going to be over by gate 7, I believe. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Andy, longtime listener, first time caller. Just want to check: did they scrape all the mold off the smoking area above Nordeca?
You know, I'm not a smoker, so I haven't been up there or asked.
I'm assuming that it's been
sure that's not tar
a huge overhaul.
Improv before, just yes and. That's all you got to do.
You know.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I've been to Bonnaroo a lot down in Tennessee, and when they put in the bathrooms there, that was way more exciting to everyone than anything else. So anytime there's a bathroom improvement, and God knows we needed it, that's a beautiful thing. Those are the little things that we can see from this ownership group and working with you guys as well to make sure that everyone's on the same page and it's all about the fan experience and having a great time, because that's what's unique about this game. No other sport can say this. The fan experience and the supporters groups and everything are so vital. And I remember the first years of the franchise when we didn't know how to organize that kind of experience, and it just sort of grew organically. And it's so important to make sure that is the centerpiece of what's going on at the stadium on Saturday at Montfrey Stadium. So well done, Andy.
Thank you.
I'm going to assume from now on that you're in charge. So
No, okay. I don't. Like I said, I'm just loud. They give me a megaphone and say, just yell till you don't have a voice. If I could just leave off with, you know, come to Ruby's, come to Hendox, Endeavor, 4th Street at 8 o'clock Friday night till whenever we can shut the bar down. They're all going to have Christmas parties. Ruby's is doing an event to help the Ohio give me 1 second to look at my notes. The Ohio Food Bank.
Great.
There's going to be a punk rock show at Ruby's that night, Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
$5 at the door. It all goes to the food bank, or $3 with a non-perishable item. Also, the Mega Tailgate is going to kick off bright and early, probably around 8 a.m. The Murderers Row guys will probably be there at 5 a.m.
Yep.
Whoa. also, Ruby's at 8 a.m. Christmas Day till 1 p.m. We're going to do breakfast pizzas, both regular and vegan, for all our non-meat-eating friends. And then we're going to march to the stadium to meet up with the Mega Tailgate.
Andy, you've thought of everything. I think you are in charge.
This is just all information I'm passing along. Okay. There's a large group that I'm, you know, blessed to be a part of, that is just really concerned about the fan experience, especially the supporters group's experience. And all those guys and gals are doing a great job.
Well, Matt or Andy, thank you so much for being here and all you guys do. Look forward to the game on Saturday and experiencing Nordic.
Come and hang out. Especially with your senior. Yeah.
Get my
we'll hang out. It'll be fun.
Fair enough. Right on. Do we need to break or do we want to bring in Matt right now?
Just bring him back.
All right.
Cool.
Let's bring in Matt.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Matt Goshard is here and he's been very thank you, Andy. Yeah. He's been very coy about what he wants to talk about, but there's some sort of announcement that you wanted to make in your Ipswich Town FC kit.
Sir Bobby A and B. This is a 1981 Cup Champions.
Yeah,
Ipswich Town.
I see that
shirt. So.
I see that.
No, I just got back. From England. That's
all.
Where'd you go? Ipswich.
Yeah. What'd you see?
Two Ipswich Town matches.
Okay. Did they win?
Two 1-1 draws because we are bottom of the table in the championship right now, but I don't
care.
It could be worse.
Yeah, I know. It could be worse.
You could be Sunderland.
Yeah, I've been watching that show on Netflix. Don't tell me. No spoilers, okay? It's not looking good, but I think they get back to the Premier League at the end of the season, right? All right.
We'll see.
I'm a Newcastle fan, so I think you should watch all of it.
All right. Well, they're not my club or anything. I'm just like, this looks – it is a good show. You should watch
it. It's so weird. I've not done this podcast in so long. I forgot which ear I was half deaf in for a half a second and almost put the headphone on the wrong ear. So that was fun. I have a muted announcement from the announcement that I was planning on making this evening because I can't make half of the announcement right now. But just kind of a fun thing that's going to be going on at the tailgate. We are doing – I work for a brewery now. One of the reasons that I ended up not being able to be on this podcast anymore because of conflict of interest. But we are going to be doing a pretty massive – Saucy Brew Works will be doing a pretty massive tailgate party. We're going to be giving away a lot of our beers – hanging out, doing a whole lot of that sort of stuff. So that's kind of the half that I wanted to talk about. But then the other half that I was kind of just playing by ear here. Alex?
Oh, God, this is some sort of a...
No, I do want to point out the fact that you're not wine drunk right now.
That's true.
Which I'm very upset about. But number two, Alex is the only survivor. I don't count you, Sam, because you're eternal. You're like a stone golem. You're just always here. But Alex is the only leftover from when I was on this show. So I want to address you.
Yeah.
Want to address you specifically on this. I want to get your beat on this.
Yeah.
There are only six sections at Mafre Stadium right now that have full rows that you can purchase.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I just looked this up on the and you guys as well. There are not a lot of tickets left for this game.
It's a beautiful thing.
And I don't remember the last time that I went to an opening day match that was actually sold out.
And think about how cold it's forecast to be as well. I mean, that's a testament to this volcano of fan involvement that was rumbling underneath and ready to erupt, and it is it's a beautiful thing to see, and it's coming true right before our eyes, and it's not that hard. Just treat people like human beings, right?
Well, I mean, I had a whole conversation with a former front office member who moved to Austin recently, and I was like, just pass one thing along to Anthony for me, is that I still never got my apology for him sitting at this bar across the table from me and lying to my face. I probably never will, and I'm kind of okay with that at this point, but, you know, it was good to just kind of get that out there.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. I feel like right now we have such a committed local ownership group and a committed regional ownership group, and we have all of the right pieces falling together, where I think it's going to be a great last two seasons at MAFRE. I think that MAFRE is going to turn into an insanely awesome community asset. And then I think that the new stadium downtown is going to be there was just an article, and I was reading a little bit of it that came out in the Dispatch today, talking about parking and things along those lines. And I think that is
first world problem.
It's so
I don't
silly.
Care. I like to walk. Well, I'll walk. There's so think about this. You got a Blue Jackets game going on. You got a concert at Express Live. At the same time,
it'd be like everyone, Patriots Day in Boston.
Everyone seems to find a place to park.
Yeah.
You walk a few blocks. It's not a thing. It's
well,
not
it's,
a big deal.
And the thing is, the people that need the parking close enough, legally, those parking
you
spots need to be available.
Yeah,
and
you get
and,
it.
And that should be the case.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely,
it will
be.
There'll be
the
a
law.
Good amount of you know disabled parking at the actual stadium. It's going to be weird, and I think actually weird in a good way, in my opinion, to kind of have more of the pub culture, quote unquote, than the tailgate culture. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a win for everybody.
The only thing I insist upon is that Betty's stay open.
Yes,
no,
absolutely.
Betty's,
this is going to rejuvenate Betty's. Betty's is going to be a power.
Betty's is always
Oh, yeah, always is.
Oh,
if they're open, if they decide to be open.
I would say, yeah, when are they open?
When well, they feel like it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
the best
thing.
Kind.
It's like, oh, they're open.
The only time that I know Betty's is open is after NXT wrestling events that I get super drunk at and have a verbal argument with the Big Show when I'm in the front row. That's the only time that I know that Betty's is open. But other than that, you know, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Alex has no idea what Betty's is.
I vaguely know the name. I've never been.
It's not the short
the
North Betty's.
No.
Not the one that's close. Yeah.
Never been.
Little hole in the wall bar. It's awesome. But
I'll
yeah, it. Yeah, it's on
Do
the.
They own that land? They gotta own that land. I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's
on the other side of the street, just down from the ballpark.
If not, we gotta get city council to just grandfather them.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, we need to petition city council to get Betty's to just they get to be there forever. Yeah, exactly. All right, that's our new project.
Yeah,
that's our new project.
Now that we've saved the crew, everyone
exactly.
needs something
save
else
Betty's.
To do.
Yeah, save Betty's.
Betty's a historical marker for Ohio.
Yeah,
as
I,
it should be.
I think this is fantastic.
Well, I'm sure some of you guys have also been to a variety of stadiums all over the country, the world, whatever. And one of the cool things after certain games, you know, whether it's been when I was in Portland or Seattle,
Portland,
stuff like that. You exit the stadium, you just go right to a bar, and you're celebrating the game. You're keeping the game going. It's extended.
Yeah.
So that's way better to me than everybody hopping in their car and trying to fight for space on I-71. Mm-hmm. So this is, to me, let's walk. Let's walk and talk and have a good time at the bar and stuff like that. I think this is amazing.
Yeah. Well, to me, it kind of puts a bow in the arena district. And I remember it when it was a – well, I'm not quite old enough to remember it as a prison, but I've been told about it. But there was nothing down there. And now you have that – and whenever I would – because I'm cheap – go to a Clippers game, $3 to park. I'll park in dirt, sure. But the last few years I've been parking there and going, this is it. This is the area where it needs to be, you know. It kind of puts a bow on the entire neighborhood, and believe me, the parking is not going to be an issue.
Oh, no.
It's people that need to park at the stadium will be accommodated. The rest of us, you know, we'll get off our asses and we'll walk a few blocks.
Absolutely.
And we'll stop and we'll
it's
have
nothing
a beer.
Like the 20 minutes in Austin.
Well,
and on top
of
that,
through 110 degree heat. You ever been to Austin?
Exactly.
Transit exists, though. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm thinking about this. Like, I live up just a little bit north of here, and I'm like, I could take the number 2 bus almost all the way to the stadium,
yep.
Or I can at least take it to
a bar where I can have a couple drinks and hang out and go there. Sam's got his hand up.
Yeah, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of Bird scooters and Lime and all those scooters.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the guys on the bicycles
with the cart. Yeah.
There'll be so many pedicabs. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well,
making a ton of money, those guys.
Yeah. A ton of money, exactly.
And yeah, not only that, Coda's already talking on Twitter about how they are having planning meetings and stuff like
that.
So they're hinting at all kinds of stuff. So.
Yeah, they got it figured out. And you know what? It's ironic because if you go to Austin during South by Southwest, the big music festival, there's nothing but pedicabs everywhere. Yeah. I mean, so that's kind of ironic. I could see that being a bigger business when you go to the shot, go to a concert, go to a game or whatever. Those guys are everywhere. It'll work out. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. That's the least of our worries.
Well, I talked to a guy, actually. It was when you brought up the shot and you brought up pedicabs. One of my Uber drivers the other night was a pedicab driver, and he was talking about how the shot is, like, the best place for him as far as that goes because there's these huge sprawled-out parking lots, and people don't want to walk as far as they do. The shot, I think the shot would probably be, like, larger gap between venue and you know, parking spot, unless you show up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something along those lines.
Look, let's put it this way. If our biggest issue is having to walk 15 minutes, we're reaching for issues.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, I feel like we're reaching for problems.
That's where I'm like, what? You know?
Well, I am going to start a jogging regimen just to get ready. I got a couple of years. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, we got a break here. And when we come back, we'll wrap things up on the first massive report of the 2019 season as we look ahead to the opener against Red Bulls on Saturday. Welcome back to the Massive Report. We are at Hen Docks on High Street. Are we going to be here every week? Because I like doing this in a bar. As opposed to, like, disembodied people talking on computers at various places. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Here, let me just hey, Bart, could you talk about the Segment 3 sponsor while I finish my beer here at Hen Docks?
Absolutely. Segment 3 is sponsored by the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls, the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls Supporters Club and or Lifestyle Brand. They're the people that brought you Gumbino and the Don... Really, Sam? Did you cut me?
Wow.
Okay, the Don Garber chant. We brought you the Don Garber chant. We're sponsors of the Massive Report. It's a real-life thing now. As far as I understand, money is exchanged hands. It's good. You can find out more about GCG Bag at GCGBAG.com, the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls, the best place to go in Mega Tailgate. They're definitely not failing, and they're official sports sponsors of the Massive Report.
All right. Thank you, Bart. Now, I should mention that the Massive Report has obtained season tickets. And we're not allowed to keep them. It's part of the podcast code of honor.
Ooh.
That's just crap.
I didn't know that was a thing.
But we're all holding our swords ready to defend it.
We have a pair of tickets that we're going to give away every week, right?
Every home game.
Every home game. Well, yeah, we're not going to fly you to Seattle or whatever. But every home game. For season 2019. So what we're going to do is ask you a trivia question on our Twitter and Facebook feeds. You will have a certain allotted amount of time to answer that question. Anyone who answers it correctly will go into a drawing. At midnight Tuesday into Wednesday, that's the cutoff. And then the drawing will be held, and then you will be tracked down, and two tickets will be pressed into your sweaty hands so you can go out and enjoy match number one, in this case, against New York Red Bulls. We're going to get to New York Red Bulls here in a second. But, fellas, if you would, I would like a few predictions.
All right.
Let's start with a rising star. Maybe, as we were speaking about earlier, maybe someone you hadn't thought of, maybe the average fan doesn't know. Each of you give me someone to look for as, by the time we reach October and we're in the playoffs or we're winning MLS Cup, that guy that you go, man, I didn't even know who that guy was in March.
You know, I'm going to hop on the J.J. Williams bandwagon, all right? I know I talked about him a little bit in the first segment, but I really think he's a guy. Again, I don't think he's not going to get starter minutes. I don't think he's going to get a ton of minutes. But I think as the season goes on and he becomes more and more acclimated with the professional game and the players around him understand how to use that kind of size and ability, I think he's a guy who's going to make a difference.
He's a young guy. Yeah. He's a young guy. He's got a lot to learn, but you're right. I mean, that size, I think it definitely makes him an intriguing person to watch through the season.
So my pick is still going to be Robinho, but since I already talked about Robinho, I want to talk about somebody else, and that's, you know, we were talking earlier about who's the heir to Federico Higuain, and I think that player, if the player is on the roster, is Luis Argudo, who I think we'll see off the bench frequently this season, and potentially games when Higuain's rested, I think he'll be the starter. I think he's got all the attributes that he needs to be a number 10 in Major League Soccer. He needs the experience. He needs to keep improving. What we saw from him last season, I didn't think it was enough. But I think this is going to be the year when he's able to break through and start getting some professional minutes in the first team. And I think if he does well this season, he could potentially even be in the mix this following season for a starting role somewhere in the midfield. So I really think he's the guy to watch if we're not talking about Robinho.
Well, here's something we really haven't thought of, is that they've kind of tweaked the schedule to make it a bit more compact.
Yeah.
So we're going to see more midweek games, and certainly management of Higuain's minutes comes into play. So I think that's an excellent point, because we're going to have to kind of spell him from time to time. Yeah.
You know, for me, I think Eddie Opoku, I think he might be there. If we're talking about maybe rising star, I think he's established in MLS, but I think he takes the next step this year and maybe even, you know, overshadows Will Trapp, and that is Artur. I think, you know, Artur at, 22 years old, you look at, I think this year we're going to recognize a lot more about how important he is for this team. I mean, the amount of, we talked about heat maps earlier, and if you look at the amount of ground that Artur covers as well, especially in games when you've seen him in with just four midfielders and in that two center midfielder situation, his flexibility, and I think now is a player who's going into, you know, his third full season MLS. He's comfortable. He might still have the wristband or the wrist guard, just kind of like Rip Hamilton used to have for the mask. He just keeps wearing it. But I think Artur has the potential to be, I mean, I think he has the potential, if he continues to progress, to net you way more money than Zach Steffen ever did as a player. And I think he's a very talented center midfielder. You can't get a more important position. And I think if he does rise to that level, to, you know, MLS All-Star, you know, maybe getting looks at maybe Brazil's long leap for the national team, but I think he's the player to watch this
year.
He's
undoubtedly the most under-noticed, undervalued, underappreciated player that the Crew has, and I think this year we're going to see just how valuable he is. I think Caleb Porter's going to kind of highlight him, and we've already seen the preseason. If you're just the casual fan of soccer and you don't necessarily understand all the X's and O's, you might not appreciate what he does. But if you know soccer, you know everything that guy does is so important to a team being successful.
Mike, MVP.
You know, it's this seems like an easy one, but I just feel like he's going to have a heck of a year. But I really believe Higuain, he's going to be the engine of the team once again. And I know he's an easy one to go to, but I really think this team's only going to go as far as he takes us. Right now, again, is he going to be a 90-minute guy? Probably not. Is he going to need spells where, you know, as you mentioned, the compact schedule, where he's maybe going to miss a game or maybe only come in for a half, something like that? Absolutely. But I think even in the preseason games that we have seen, he's running all over the place, he's making things happen, and he's going to be able to score goals, whether it's on set pieces or through the run of play. I think we might see an Higuain from maybe even a few years ago, where he was just on fire. I think we're going to see that again.
Alex?
I also think it's going to be Higuain.
You can't take his MVP.
I can't take it.
How about this?
Since we've already talked about Higuain, I'll throw out another duplicate double pick here. How about the DP that we sign in July of this season?
Oh, I love that.
When the summer transfer window opens in Europe and the Haslam and Edwards money starts you know, burning a hole in their pocket a little bit, and they want to make a statement signing to push through to the playoffs. So I think that there's a chance.
I'm talking about Falcao.
I don't know who we're talking about, but I wonder if they just want to kind of you know, show everybody around town who's boss a little bit.
So
and
it's
say,
a silhouette
you know.
Of a person, and we don't know who it is. Yeah, it's got a question mark in their head.
The mystery man. Yeah,
I like it. Okay, all right.
Hey, look. Here's the thing. I don't think that's out of the question. And
yeah.
I mean, look, they went out and got Caleb Porter.
Yeah.
Talked mm-hmm. the kind of.
They didn't have to.
He was at Lakers games. Yeah. Watching Lakers
games in
the front
row. They did not have to do that. People were just happy to save the team.
Well, and Tim Bezbachenko left Toronto FC, a team where they signed Sebastian Jovinko, Jozy Altidore, and Michael Bradley in, what, a season and a half?
Yeah, what is that?
So
one
that's,
for three.
That's some serious money, and he's thinking, I think we're better off in Columbus. I think I'm better off in Columbus.
Poor Jovinko is sold off to Saudi Arabia. That's a good time right there.
Yeah.
They immediately turned into a dumpster fire as soon as he left. He was the tiny Band-Aid holding that giant tank of an organization together, and it's the whole thing's just blown up, and I love it. I love it.
A little heads up. Jovinko scored in his first game.
Did he?
In Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Against who?
In Saudi Arabia.
Mm, sure did.
You're kidding.
I swear to God.
Huh? Wow.
Snuck it right under the
I got to be honest with you. I know nothing about the Saudi Arabian League. I just know that there's no Hendox in Riyadh. And so it doesn't sound like a good time to me. All right, MVP.
I don't think he'll win it, but if the Crew are going to go anywhere, they need him to be this guy, and that's Jonathan Mensah.
Okay.
I think you look at the difference between 2017 and 2018. You look at the margins this team was playing on last year. They had a negative goal differential. They did not score a lot. And hopefully you're going to start getting some more production out of the wingers, especially under Caleb Porter. But I think you need that just Hulk at the center midfield position. And I think that's what we saw from Jonathan Mensah last year, just very consistent. Those good passes out of the back when there's pressure. I give defensemen a little bit more leeway in terms of, especially when you're coming from a higher level league to MLS, for that adjustment a little bit, because, you know, the position by nature, it's mostly reaction. Whereas you've got, you know, Pedro, who's come in here for a while, and, you know, I'm hopeful that he's going to score goals and produce. But I think that Jonathan Mensah, if he is able to, you know, continues to produce, be that number one center back for this team, consistent, a danger for set pieces as well, which we saw. I mean, he's the best center back, has the potential to be the best center back this team has seen since Chad Marshall.
Absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. One of the things that was talked about in a massive report article was talking about what put those Timbers teams with Caleb Porter, the 2015 team, over the top. And it wasn't Diego Valeri, okay? It wasn't Fernando Adi. It was Liam Ridgewell and Nat Borchers at center back, all right? So that's what's going to make any team or take any team.
It wasn't the chainsaw?
Well, I mean, that certainly plays a part of it. That's pretty rad when they do that.
Timber Joey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, my daughters would kill me if I didn't say Will Trapp as the MVP, so just move along, you know. I do think, in all seriousness, I do think that we're going to be fascinated with his role this year. I do think it's going to look a little different, and we may lose him.
Yeah.
And in summer. I don't know, we're running out of time, but I think next week or at some point we need to address the world after Zach Steffen goes to Man City, and we'll get to that as the season goes along. Team position as we get to early October. It's months from now. What are we looking at?
The East is going to be tough. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, this first game is against the Supporter Shield winners from last year, so it's not going to be a cakewalk. You know, yes, they lost Tyler Adams, but overall this is still a very, very strong New York Red Bulls team. A team that's going to be top two in the East easily, probably between them and Atlanta again, because they're both pretty stacked. I think we're going to see Columbus in that 4-5 range. I don't think it'll be a question of making the playoffs. I think we're definitely going to be a shoo-in for that. My only concern is the two concerns I have are, how do we make up for when Steffen leaves, okay, which is obvious, right? Two, as you mentioned, the compact schedule. What do we do to negate not being able to play Higuain 90 minutes over 34 games in this season? So I think whatever Caleb Porter does in that role is going to make or break this team, and also really decide where we are in a position. And Bezpachenko, what does he do from a goalkeeper standpoint? Do we stay put with Joe Bendik? Do we do or Kempin as well, or do we bring somebody on? I think those are going to be the two things that decide where we are. But I feel pretty confident top four.
Okay.
I think that this is going to be a great year for us. I think that we had a very, very good team last season that underperformed in some aspects, partially due to the off-the-field madness that they were going through, the uncertainty. And I think that the fans are going to be behind this team like never before. The players are going to be feeling it. There's going to be a freedom from all of this that is going to really fuel them, especially in the early months of the season. And I think we're going to ride the wave. I really do. I think we're going to finish second in the East. I think we're going to be in. I think we're going to be in shield contention.
Wow. I
think that is going to be a really, really good year. I think all of the pieces are there. You look at the team and the weak spots, and you know, again, it's the people that we're potentially losing this summer that are, you know, the kind of the scare factors for me, especially Stefan, possibly Trapp. He just recently got his Greek passport, so he's on the market in theory anyway. But we have ownership that's willing to spend, which we didn't have before. You lose a guy like Stefan under, you know, a Hunt ownership group or under our last ownership group, and, you know, you probably bring in a player of significantly lesser quality and you just put the rest of the money in the bank. The Haslams spend Zach Stefan money on fourth-string quarterbacks for the Browns. It's not a problem for them to go out and get somebody of equal talent to replace him or someone of potentially, you know, with an even higher ceiling. Now, I think finding someone who's available who has a higher ceiling than Stefan is almost impossible. But you can go out and get someone of equal talent, maybe on the older side, and then also bring in a young star player from some other country to make this team better in the long run. I think we're going to be trying to do what Atlanta did. And that's worked so well for them. So I think the further we go in the season, the more we're going to see those pieces start to fall into place, and it's going to be a great year.
So Tim Couch is going to be the goalie?
Oh, God. Oh, God. I know about that.
That was a joke.
I think.
I hope
he's pretty big. He's got a wide wingspan. I don't know, maybe.
Chad Ochocinco tried out for Sporting Kansas City. Like whatever 4 years ago. So
that
you know, football players crossing over. Yeah. It's not impossible. I just hope it's not our team. You know, that sounds more like a Philadelphia Union type of move to me. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Bart.
You know, this is where it becomes clear that you're a little bit new to the podcast because I'm a hopeless homer. I'm going to go with – I guess we'll make it realistic so I won't say 34-0. I'll go
That's
with
what I was going to say.
22-12.
Okay.
And winning the Supporter Shield.
Yeah. All right. So I love it.
Zero ties.
Yeah. Oh no! Still undefeated. Still sorry. 22-0-12.
Okay.
My bad.
12
sorry.
Draws.
Invincibles.
Then.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I'm trying to be reasonable.
There. Okay. Fair enough. Well, whatever it is, it's going to be a fun season. I just look at this as my perspective has literally changed on being a supporter, and I love sports, and I love my Blue Jackets and so forth. My perspective has shifted a lot going through this experience, and I'm just happy to be here. You know,
yep.
I'm happy to have a team to support,
oh, man.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Sure.
But I agree with you guys. I think it's going to be a good season in a hard-fought Eastern Conference. You know what? I'm going to slot in between everybody. I'm going to say third. How about that?
I like
third
it,
in the East, a playoff team nonetheless. With all the challenges that come forward, I'm hoping that Will Trapp will not leave us. We know we're losing Zach Stefan, but the great thing about that is at least we know.
Yeah.
At least we know we can make a plan. We have until the end of July, and we'll go from there. And we'll go from here, from Hendox. Will we be here next week? Of course we will. Go to the social media feeds and find out how you can win, as we explained earlier. Those opener tickets, you want to be there. Of course you do. You can win them from us. We got them all year for the home games right here on the Massive Report. And we thank once again 180 Property Development for their sponsorship of the Massive Report podcast. 180 Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your house from the ground up. Kind of like building a stadium. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next project. All right, real quick, we'll go around the room. I haven't thought about New York Red Bulls in months. I've been kind of focused on Columbus Crew. Give us a snapshot of how you see the game.
Well, I mean, you know, like we mentioned before, the Red Bulls do run their classic. I mean, they're known for it now. They're infamous for it, is their high press. I mean, that's what they do. That's how they let you know. And that's how they win or lose games. And so I think depending on how the Crew handle that, and it's not like this is a secret to Caleb Porter. He knows this, right? I mean, the whole league knows it at this point. So it depends on how they handle that. Can they get the ball out of the back? And can they exploit the fact that the back line for the Red Bulls are going to be pushed up? And, you know, Bart, you had mentioned, you know, can we clip some balls over the top with Pedro Santos' speed? Probably not, right? Merrim, he's not exactly a burner either. But I think the biggest thing is being able to capitalize on those opportunities when we see them. And, you know, here's the interesting thing about MLS. Because of parity, because the way the league is structured, there's always, every year, it's like clockwork, a team that goes first to worst and a team goes worst to first in MLS, okay, in the conference, right? I'm wondering if maybe we're going to do that. We're going to start that that first to worst for the Red Bulls this year.
Wow.
Okay. Now, if I were a betting man, I would say, yeah, they're going to be near the top again. But it's, again, like clockwork. It's death taxes and some team going from first to last in MLS. Okay?
Toronto, eh?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yep.
And so will Red Bull be that? Doubtful. But here's the deal. I think with the energy that we have with Caleb Porter and with Save the Crew, I think with the way this team is already banging on all cylinders, they look like a team that's 2 months into the actual season, not a month in the preseason, okay? I think we're going to see a win this weekend, and I'm not saying that from a homer standpoint, like I'm Bart, thinking they're going to win every game this year, right?
Only 24 of them.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. No, it's 22. 22,
no,
right?
22. 22. Yeah, 22.
But I really believe there's going to be a buzz in the stadium. Caleb Porter's going to get this team fired up. Like I said, they're going to run through a wall. New York Red Bull is not going to know what hit them because we're going to score in the first 10 to 12 minutes, and then Red Bull's going to be on their heels.
All right, give me a score.
I'm going to go 2-0.
All right, 2-0. Alex.
So I think that one thing that is worth mentioning about Red Bull is that they have already played one regular season game in CONCACAF Champions League. They have another game on Wednesday. Yep.
So if you
want to get a preview of Red Bull, tune into that CONCACAF Champions League game on Wednesday.
Is that the competition that Toronto was in until the other day?
That would be accurate.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was pretty rough for them. Like I said, dumpster fire. It's glorious. I love seeing updates about anything TFC because it's always bad news.
All right, so they're playing on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Do you know where we can find that?
So I think that the rights to that are – not on television, but I think it's streaming.
I think it's on Yahoo.
Yeah, okay. Yahoo Sports, I think has the streaming
rights.
We'll scout them.
Give me a score.
So, yeah, I actually think this is going to be a benefit for them. So I think that's kind of the tricky thing is they're going to have extra minutes to kind of run through their system. That said, our stadium is going to be crazy on Saturday. I'm not sure that any of us have ever seen anything like it. I mean, MLS Cup 2015 was pretty nuts, but
good
this
point.
Is something completely different, I think. I think the players are going to feed off of it, and I think it's going to be 3-1.
All right, 3-1. Bart?
I'm going with, and yes, I'm a homer, but I'm going with 3-0. Also, just you look at to the points that Alex made there with this, you know, with the environment, and you look at this team, you know, under Caleb Porter at least, It looks like he's been able to get a little bit more out of, especially the winger position, as we touched on, where if you can get that secondary level of scoring that Greg Berhalter didn't achieve over his last season and a half, it was very reliant on Giassi Zardes and Frederico Higuain. If you can get that secondary scoring a little bit, and you look at this as a team that, you know, most of the guys are holdovers from last year, and this is a team that lost to this New York Red Bulls team that did not get, I don't believe, scored a goal on them in the playoffs. And so I think, you know, I would hope at least that's something that's weighing a little bit on their mind. Yes, there's so much to look forward to. You've got an entire other season, you know, entire season ahead of you. You've got to celebrate, you know, the fact that you are playing here in Columbus and everything. But I hope that there's still a little bit of resentment and a little bit of sting from that loss and, you know, the desire to go back and kind of, show them what's what. And remember that the New York Red Bulls will forever be the crew's redheaded stepbrother. Again, they've never won any meaningful games. They beat the crew, but they've still never won an MLS Cup. The only time they got to MLS Cup was when they had to jump to another conference so they could lose to the crew. So that's always what New York Red Bulls will be until they prove otherwise.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, we know how strong the crew midfield is, right, with Higuain, Trapp, and Artur, right? I think the three players that we really have to focus on, and something we can do a little scouting on Wednesday, is Kaku, Bradley Wright Phillips, who everybody knows him. I mean, he just scores goals like crazy. And then Daniel Royer, who I think is, if he didn't play for New York, I don't think very many people would know him, but they do. But I still think he's a little underrated because he's a winger that makes things happen for New York. So it's about how does the crew back line and midfield battle up against those three guys, and I think you have a heck of a goalkeeper matchup with Luis Robles and Zach Steffen, two great keepers. You know, one who's obviously a little older. I think Robles is 31 or so. Steffen's a little younger, but they're guys that make unbelievable saves. So it's a battle of those three players that I just mentioned with the ball against, you know, our guys of Higuain, Trapp, Artur, and which winger is going to step up. That's the biggest thing. Which winger is going to make it happen for us? So, you know, of those players, whichever ones gets the best, I think that's who's gonna get the result.
All right, I kind of planted the seed a while ago. 89th minute, Will Trapp from 40 yards out with the game winner.
I like
beautiful.
It. I like it.
2-1.
I like it.
The stadium might break.
Well, we're gonna tear it again. Yeah.
We're gonna tear it down anyway. So, I know they're keeping it up, but you get what I'm saying. But we need to keep it upright. So please. Keep your stomping to a minimum. As Will Trapp scores the winning goal on Saturday. We'll be back here next week for Alex, for Mike, for Bart, whoever else shows up. This is the Massive Report. I'm Brian Phillips, and we'll see you next week.